Good morning. This morning, I greet you in that name that we heard about already this morning. It is the name of that's above all names. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the scriptures that I'm going to start reading on, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6. I got a few verses at the end there to read, and then the first verse in chapter 7. For 2 Corinthians 6, begin reading in verse 14. I have a subject that I'd like to speak on today that I struggled with. I don't know how it is with you when you prepare a message, but for me it's when we realize how precious the Word of God is, we tremble when we open it up. We tremble. It's precious. And today I have several scriptures that I would like to read to you all today. If nothing that I say today, let the Word of God speak. Amen? And then we'll be safe. Maybe I'll say some things. This might not come out right, but this will come out right. It'll never fail. It'll come out right. And I endeavor to read quite a few scriptures today. So let's begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I know that these are very, very familiar verses. I know they are. Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth in an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Thank you. God has said, and I will dwell with them, in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, what promises? We just read them. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'd like to write that title on the board. And while I'm writing this title, I would like to have y'all rise and sing the song 696. I think that's the one. Take time to be holy. So if you want to lead that, Rufus, and
you
Maybe you can look at that up there and see why I might be trembling. Why I might be trembling. I thought about putting the mission field on the bottom. But I decided while I was sitting here, it needs to go on top. Perfecting holiness on the mission field. Now you're probably thinking, oh, he's mission-minded up here. Yeah, he's just going to go where? No. Yes, I am mission-minded. But this is the mission. Yes, it's about going. It is. But what about right here? Perfecting holiness on this mission field. In the fear of God. In the fear of God. I'd like to read a few scriptures from Peter. I have lots of scriptures to read, so I'm going to start to continue reading. By the way, what does holy mean? What does holy mean? It says exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. That's holy. There's no flaws. And please understand me, I'm not. Yes, I am preaching holiness and I am preaching perfectness. But please understand my heart. We're still in the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope at the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy. We have to understand that we're serving a holy God. He's holy. He can't be nothing else but holy. He was, he is, and he will always be holy. We get that? We got that? It's very simple, isn't it? But sometimes we forget that we served a holy God. And we try to go and drum up some own agendas and try to make them holy. And most times it doesn't work. Most times. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. In all manner. In all manner of conversation. If today something is not right, let's fix it. Because I had to fix a few things as I was studying for this. Let's fix it. What about our conversations in the past week? Were they holy? Did they portray a holy God? Did they let the people know that you're serving a holy God? Or is it just kind of casual-like and maybe not? I'm just speaking from a clear heart this morning. I trust there's no one in here that had a bad conversation last week. But if you did, repent. Let's just repent. The bottom line. Because it is written, be you holy as I am holy. It's a promise. It's something that's required. It's a command. Be holy as I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. In fear. In the correct fear of God. We're going to speak a little bit on the fear of God before I go into the subject of holiness. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ and as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's pure and that's holy. That was Jesus, that was our God. That was Jesus Christ. So be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye perfect as I am perfect, it says in another scriptures. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But it takes a lot of surrendering, amen? It takes a lot of laying down of self, like we heard this morning. I'm not sure who brought the subject up of self. The greatest tool the enemy uses. You're just pretty good. It's pretty good. But you're selfish. It needs to die. That was the last thing that I had to take to the foot of the cross. My selfish heart. What's the beginning of holiness? Very simple. Very familiar scriptures. Turn with me to John. John 3, you know where I'm going. What's the beginning of holiness? Where does it start? Where does it start? Where must it start? Where must it start? Need to be born again. You need to be truly born again. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Must be born again. You must turn from your wicked ways and be born again. Repent and turn to God. And then he says, I am faithful and just to forgive us your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's holy. That's holy. Do we get that? Really, that could be the end of the message right there. That could be the end of the message. Be ye holy as I am holy. You want to turn to the book of Proverbs? I have lots of verses from there, and I'm going to move rather rapidly. You don't have to turn to these. You can write these down. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Kind of keep your fingers in Proverbs. I'm going to be coming back quite often in that. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. Hate it. You have the correct fear of God, you will hate evil. So today, if there's just a little evil or a little unrighteousness that you just love a little bit, you don't have the correct fear of God because he says you'll hate it. You will hate it. So let's dig around in our hearts today. I dug around in mine a lot while I was studying for this. And I didn't have it all figured out, and I still don't. But do you have the correct fear of God today? If you don't, forget about perfecting holiness. Because it needs to be done in the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. And he's not a God that you make a mistake, and he whacks you across the head with a stick. No, that's not the God we serve. The God we serve loves us, and he cares for us, and he leads and guides and directs as he will. But we need to be willing to the leading and the guiding and the directing. Here it is. Right here it is. It says, Proverbs 9, verse 10, 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet, what? Wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and a holy understanding. Get the fear of God. Get it correct. Get it right. And you have holy understanding. The arrogancy and the evil and the... it'll be gone. Can we trust in that this morning? Can we make it that plain this morning? That it will be gone. If we trust in that holy God and fear Him. Fear Him. For by me the day shall be multiplied, and the years of my life shall be increased. You want to have your life increased? Your years multiplied? Get the correct fear of God. I don't know what that means for sure. Does that mean that I'm going to live till I'm 100? Or you're going to live till you're 100? I don't believe it really means that. I believe it means that you can live and have life. And then you can live and have life more abundantly. I believe that's what that means. The lifespan could be anywhere. But if we have the correct fear of God, it's a good life. It's a good life. Verse chapter 10, verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. There it is again. It prolongeth days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I don't proclaim to understand that. I have an idea what it means, but I'm not going to explain. I'd like for someone to help me with that. What does it mean? That it prolongeth life and the wicked shall be shortened. What does it mean? I don't have time to try to explain that. Let's just take it for what it's worth. It's a good life. And if you're living in wickedness, he won't put up with it. And he'll deal with it. Amen? Chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. Listen to this verse. Young men, children, you have a place to go for refuge? In the fear of the Lord is strong in confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from snares of death. Oh, I love the book of Proverbs. There's so much direction. We're probably going to come back and read a few more as the time allows. Chapter 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Sixteen six says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Why aren't men departing from evil today? The answer is right there. Right there's the answer. They love darkness rather than light. But if we have the fear of the Lord, we will depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. The man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Do you fear him? Do you fear him that he knows it? That he can liberally direct your steps to holiness. To holiness. Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and shall be not visited with evil." We have some beautiful promises here. If we can get this, the fear of the Lord, correct in our hearts, what promises? We will not be visited with evil. We will be satisfied. Those are blessings. Let's get it. How do we get it? How do we get it? Well, let's just turn back to Psalms 34. I'm going to start reading in Psalms 34, verse 9. "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them that fear him." You have a whole boatload of wants this morning? Oh, I want this, I want to do this, I want to do this. You just want to fear the Lord. God will provide. He says so. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children," here's the remedy to get the fear of the Lord. Here's the remedy. Here's the promise. "Come, ye children, hearken unto me." Listen. Listen. Not to me. God say, "Listen to me. And I will give you the fear of the Lord. That way you can perfect holiness." Perfect holiness. I'm going to have to keep moving here. I don't want to I would like to I think we got the message on the fear of the Lord. If it's not clear, we'll talk about it. Let's just have a meeting over it. Amen? Have a meeting over it because it's so important to get it. So important to get it. Now, let me get a little practical. Proverbs is very practical. Amen? So all I have to do is read it. Amen? So when I'm going to go into the home, holiness in the home, how is it? And I'm not talking about the homes on the outside of this building. Yeah, there's many, many out there. There is. But they may be listening in, but the chances are they're not. Okay? So I'm going to speak here today. I'm going to talk about the moms and the wives. And by the way, I've just found out, I noticed something. There's more scripture on the wife and the mom than there is the dad. Let's just read a few of them about the moms and the wives. Turn with me to Proverbs 31. You all know where I'm going. You want a holy home. If you want the holiness of God to be in your home, moms and wives, here it is. This is a perfect holiness in a home. And it will produce holy children. I'm going to start on verse 10. "What can a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doeth safety, trust her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life." Speaking about holiness, isn't it? Now, I don't know any moms in here that aren't this way. I don't. I don't. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth her field and buyeth it. I believe she settles it that she's a mom of the home and she buys it. She settles it. With the fruits of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. I suppose there's moms in here that the candle burneth all night long while the baby's crying. Don't neglect it. That's a holy mom. The holy mom. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yeah, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow or her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. How about that one? She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor on her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up. Her children arise up. And what do? Go out and have a big blast and fun? And they just do a go about? No! They rise up as godly children when the mom and the wife have it in order. Amen? I know it's practical, I know, but it's truth. Reading from the Word. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also and praises her. Children, how many times have you told your mom that you're blessed? I don't remember ever saying that to my mom. Was it her fault? No. So children, be obedient to your mom. If you want to have, you want to live a holy life, and I'm talking about children. I am. Amen. So how is it when mom tries to give a little direction? A mom that's like this in the Bible. Yeah, I can do it a little better than you can. Destruction, and that's called unholy. When the holy mom is given a holy direction, listen. This is what's wrong with our society today. They don't listen. They have no intentions to listen. Most of our society. Now I'm outside of the building, okay? I trust I am. I'm outside of the building. Watch it. Look at it. No, listen. My daughters have done virtually, but thou excels them all. You raised some pretty good daughters, but mom, you excel that all. Give her the fruit of her hands and let No, I forgot, 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Young ladies, you want to be good moms? Listen to your mom. I don't care how beautiful you are. You don't listen to mom, it's ugly. It's ugly. No matter which way you look at it. 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. There's a lot more that could be read on that, could be expounded on that, but I wish want everyone, all your moms and wives, just to go home and look, where am I at? You ready, dads, now? Are you ready, dads? You want to have a holy mom, you better be a holy dad. You want holy children, you better be a holy dad. Support your holy mom. This sounds too spiritual, forgive me, but I'm trying to bring a point across. Dads, how is it in your home? How is it in the home? How is it on the mission field? The home. You are the leader of the home. I can't expound on that enough because I failed and I missed most of that. But as I see the fathers leading out in the homes, I see how more important it is to lead out in the home so we have a holy home. Because if we don't have a holy home, then the chances are of the by the way, I missed one in there. Anybody know what that is? The church. The church. Where do I put that in that category? I think it should go clear down here, even though no, I'm not putting church in a lesser category, not at all. But if the other things are not in order, the church is going to be havoc. Havoc. Would you agree? By the way, anything that I'm sharing here today, just disagree if you want. Do it here if you want. Don't matter. The fathers, how does it stand in the home? The way it is in the home determines the way the children are. And we're going to get very practical on a subject that's laying heavy on my heart, and it's called My Sons and Daughters. The Bible only says my sons, but I'm going to add daughters. My sons and daughters. And before we do that, let's turn to Titus 2, I think it is. And I would like to read that chapter. I think I still have time to do that. There's lots of direction in here for the fathers. Titus 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Did we hear that? Sound doctrine. Where's sound doctrine? Right here. If it doesn't line up with this, trash it. Put it in the trash barrel. Sound doctrine. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Dads, you need to be sound in the faith. in charity and in patience. Age women likewise, that they become behavior as becometh holiness. Seems like it talks a little more about the woman today, doesn't it? I believe it's vital. Not as false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children. I don't think that needs much explaining. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God might not be blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. I'm talking to you young men today now. Be sober-minded. Let's forget about this casual living. Oh, yeah, just a little of this and a little of that. Yeah, just. Is that talking about young married men? I think so. It's talking about young men. So if you would consider yourself a young man today, take heed to the words. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, insincerity, sound speech. Earlier we said something about our conversation. Sound speech. That cannot be condemned. That he that is contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Who's going to be a light to this world if God's holy people aren't? The answer to that is no one in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the God, of a great God, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Don't let no man teach you otherwise. Because they're out there trying it. Amen? Lost my train of thought there, sorry. You would turn your Bibles to I'm going to bring this to a close. I know that I didn't do justice to speaking on the holiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you're sitting in here today and you have never repented of your sins and you're still walking after your own lusts and after your own agenda, I encourage you, do business with God today, because you're missing out. You're missing out on holiness. You're missing out. So let's do business with God today if you have never repented. You would turn your Bibles to Thessalonians 3. I got several verses here to read in closing. question before I go there. Why is it so important to be holy? Because, is it because I just want to go to heaven? That's a good thing. That's a good thing, but that's not the most important reason. Why God called us. By the way, you were born to be holy. You were not created to live in sin. Uh-uh. You were created to be holy as He is holy. Why? Because we have Him going to hell by the hordes. And if you can be that person that's living a holy life, that they can see something different about that, that they too can become holy. Amen? Isn't that the most important reason? I think so. By the way, somebody is watching you. I say this often on a camp project. Often. Somebody is watching you. Somebody is watching you on the workforce. How are you portraying yourself? What's happening? If something just don't go quite right. Employer. What is happening? Does it portray holiness? Employee. How do you respond when your employer tells you to do something that you just really don't care to do? I don't know anything, okay? It's important. Because there may be someone, somewhere, peeking around the corner, and he may hear you respond. And you say, wow, what was that? I don't know anything about that. I'm talking about responding in a holy manner of conversation. Or will he hear, wow, I thought he was a Christian. Lord help us, let's not. I hope I'm not speaking to anyone like that in this room. But if we are, if it is spoken to you, do something about it. Because it will not work. It will bring havoc in your life and the person that's listening. Person that's watching. How is it? Got a little story. I'd have several stories about someone who's watching you. We were building a house in Oregon. And of course, I go out to the houses every once or twice a week. We drive by places. By the way, in Oregon, and by the way, I'm seeing a little bit of that here, by the way, they call it, I'm not even sure what they call it anymore. They pull in an RV or a motorhome and they'll park it no matter what, wherever they please. Wherever they please. They parked one in the church parking lot there. Took us 2 weeks to get them to move off the parking lot. So anyways, this one property right across the road from the house that we were building, that was the situation. They moved in and they put up a tent. And they put a stove and everything in the tent. They moved in. And then the man had to get the law to get him off the property. And I knew this. But one day, for some reason, I pulled in that property. And right away, the lady come out and said, we're going to move, What are you talking about, lady? I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I thought you were the police. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not the police. So I went to explain what we do. She goes, by the way, what is going on across the road? I said, what do you mean? He said, I never heard anything like it. They built that house, and I never heard one curse word. In fact, he says, I heard singing. And I heard people communicating together. Get it? That may be here somewhere. You may be somewhere and something just don't go right, and there's some words will fly out of your mouth that just aren't the best. I've done it. I know. It can happen. But if we have in mind to perfect holiness in the fear of God, it'll be less chance. Amen? It'll be less chance. Let's do it. We can do it by the grace of God. We can't do it our own strength, by the way. It takes God. And He will perfect us. Let's let Him. Let's let Him perfect us. Let's give it to Him. Let Him do it. Okay, I was going to... Thessalonians 3, verse 6, but now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, that we may abound in holiness. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Why? Because there's a day coming that He's going to return. And it may yet be this afternoon. It don't matter, does it? This is why. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will bring good, will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's going to be a day that's going to be glorious for those that are perfect in holiness in the fear of God. Amen? And we know about the rest. We know what's going to happen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. What a day. Then we which are alive, that could be some of us in here today, alive, perfected in holiness, in the fear of God, right with God, His children alive today will remain together. As we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. It's worth it all. It'll be worth all. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I trust brothers and sisters, that you were comforted today with these words. If not, do something about it. Because I make no apologies of the word. None. But if there's something said on my part, that's a possibility. So may God bless you. Let's strive. Let's strive from this point on to be holy as He is holy and perfected. May God bless you.